The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
I love people that are able to tell a good story and bring back history of an era, even an area I grew up in, and that maybe I didn't really know all that was happening even at that time. And I wanted to introduce you to Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Dale Maharich. He's the author of American Doom Loop, a book which is just out right now. American Doom Loop, Dispatches from a Troubled Nation, 1980s to 2020s. Dale, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Bill. Great to be here.
You know, Dale, it's I was going through your book the other day, and I was starting to go through some of the chapters, and it's so funny that you were a journalist. Well, you started off as a newspaper journalist, newspaper reporter, in what, the Cleveland, Ohio area, like the area south of some of the smaller newspapers. I was going to broadcast school in Cleveland during the same time that you were doing those stories. Just amazing. But you were...
We're living a parallel life here, Bill. Wow.
Yeah, I think so. The one thing that I forgot, though, as you were bringing some of these stories to light, though, I forgot that there were so many mob people being blown up and assassinated in Cleveland back in the day when I was going down there for school.
Oh, know? My gosh. No, it was Shondor Burns was blown up on West 25th Street. It's crazy stuff. People think that's only in the movies. So if you were there in that period, I think there were 37 bombings in Cleveland that year.
37. And it's like, I don't know why. Was it just one of those things where me being a 17, 18-year-old kid, I was just kind of ignoring it. I just didn't think it touched me. But you even talked about that as you were writing for some of these newspapers back in the day, that people would go for the sports story, the sports scores and stuff, which you knew nothing about, and I didn't know anything about that either. But it's like you just kind of ignore it. Was that the way that we sleepwalk through life?
Well, it was the violence then was, we didn't have mass shootings like we have now. When I grew up, the violence was between the mobsters. It wasn't going to affect me, but now I can go into a McDonald's to get a hamburger, and I might end up a victim of a mass shooting. I mean, so that was the reason I brought it up in the book, is it, in a weird way, that mob violence made sense. The mass shootings today don't.
Yeah. And you start trying to look at some of the sources of this, and I think there are multiple influences here, probably more than we would have time to even touch in on here. But why did you start focusing on the 1980s? You're almost looking at the 1980s as the linchpin or an inflection point for American culture. Could you break that down a little bit in your book, American Doom Loop?
Yeah, just really quickly, the 80s, the word homeless did not exist in 1980 in most stories, because the homeless didn't exist. I had a student last year who said she didn't believe there weren't always homeless. One state, Vermont, you could carry a handgun. Now, I think 20-some states you can carry a handgun without any restrictions. In 1989, I covered the first schoolyard shooting in Stockton, California. Patrick Purdy shot up a school ground, killed some kids, wounded a whole bunch of others. Mm-hmm. Congress passed a law banning military assault rifles with 100-shot drums. That law was allowed to expire in 2004, and look where we are today. Maybe some of these mass shootings that with they can shoot 100 bullets in a minute or two wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. So that's just a couple of the many things that have changed since 1980 till today.
Yeah, except that I think that the culture changed somewhat, and this is where you and I may have some disagreements here, but that's okay. We can sit around and talk about that, because I remember a time in which the culture, it was a higher trust society, I want to say, earlier on. And I'm not one of those guys that's always saying, it was always better when I was young kid. I get that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. My job is to listen. I grew up with friends who were Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah,
we got along. We talk to each other. That's my job when I go out. I listen to people. But we live in our silos now. We're not talking to each other anymore.
I'll agree with you there for the most part, but I'm glad I'm talking with you. And it's Dale Maharaj, and the book, like I said, it's thought-provoking. It's American Doom Loop. And what is a doom loop, too, by the way? I think we kind of intuitively know what that means, but when you describe doom loop, where do you see the country at this point in time, what that doom loop is doing?
Well, it's sort of like the worst things get, the worst they get. They exacerbate off each other.
Yeah.
And you know, climate change, you know, could be an example. The more things get worse, the more carbon is in the atmosphere, the worse it's going to get. But it's the same thing with our society. Anger is part of it. The anger now, as we know, you know, is out of control. The rage in this country, you know, the right is more physically violent. You know, the Oregon refuge takeover in the Capitol on January 6th. But there's a lot of rage on the left, too. So our anger...
I'm glad you're not ignoring the burning down of cities, okay? They were mostly peaceful. Okay, Dale? Okay.
Right.
Could there be a possibility that we have less to be united about than we did perhaps in earlier times? What do you think about that? That doom loop, less that we agree on in some ways.
Well, if your listeners have children, who doesn't want them to go to good schools? Who doesn't want them to grow up and be successful? We have a lot in common. I want to be able to walk down the street peacefully and not be end up a victim of a mass shooting. There's just a lot of societal things that are still, we are a society. We're not a bunch of separate little silos. So there's a lot more we should agree on than we do.
The one thing I was going to mention here is that you ended up bringing up Reagan's take that government was the problem. And I think you probably disagree with some of that. I have a feeling that maybe you and I misinterpret the government or interpret the government differently. I was talking earlier this morning about we're now at a point where we no longer really have a republic, and we essentially have a type of soft fascism. And when I say fascism, I'm speaking of a corporatism in which business is more or less hand in glove with government. It's kind of like Mussolini. Doug Casey was talking about this in a recent case that I was talking about. And could this be part of where the anger and the frustration comes in, that what we used to think of as the American dream back when we were kids has been put out of reach for many people?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. We could go on for an hour about this. But quickly, Democrats bought into the free market in the 1990s. NAFTA screwed workers on both sides of the border,
agreed.
Mexico and here.
Agreed.
It was for the corporations, and that's where a lot of the anger is aimed at.
Because we're at this point where, if you don't think that your family has hope for the future, you're going to act out in some way or another. That pressure is going to come out one way or the other. And then you start listening to clowns that say, hey, that's okay. We'll give you a society in which you own nothing, Dale, but you'll be happy. Okay? Think about that, huh?
Well, the anger goes to many ways, Bill. It can come out in all sorts of ways.
What are you hoping people will take from American Doom Loop? What are you hoping they're going to get from that?
Well, ultimately, I'm an idealist, a hopeful. I think we have to get through some of these problems. I just hope we start looking at things as we're a society, not a bunch of siloed political views. If that is even if that comes through, even in a small percentage, I will consider the book a success.
And that's why I was telling people that as I'm reading your book, I don't agree with all of it, but there are some points that you make. I'm going, yeah, and we could probably use a little more of that in society in general, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. Let's listen to each other, please.
All right. Dale Maharaj, American Doom Loop, Dispatches from a Troubled Nation. I only had a few minutes with Dale. He has other people we've got to talk to. Dale, glad to meet you. Glad you didn't get blown up in mob violence back in the 70s, okay? Good talking with you.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right. It is 19 after 7. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED, KCMD.
If you're turning 65 soon and need to learn about Medicare and your options for supplemental coverage, Lynn at Sky Park Insurance can help. Just ask Karen.
Hi, I spent 45 plus years in the health industry, so I wanted someone with expert knowledge. Lynn either knew the answer or got right back to me with details. She went the extra mile. Thanks, Lynn.
Sky Park makes Medicare enrollment easy. Enroll or review your plan with Lynn Barton at Sky Park Insurance. Call 541-499-0958.
Freedom, prosperity, safety. These are some of the values that made Oregon great. Dr. Noah Robinson will work to preserve our treasured Oregon values.
As your state senator, I'll stand up to the Democrats and lobbyists in Salem, continuing the fight for your parental rights, promoting limited government, and protecting unborn lives.
Conservative, principled, independent. Vote Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. Paid for by Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. ID 23412.
Levon here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orly's has everything you need. We are fully stocked on Splash Around above ground pools and accessories. Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orly's Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
Well, you know, it's Orly's Stove and Spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
Tough new restrictions could be coming for the border.
What? What are you talking about? Tough new restrictions.
Border battle. President Biden considering taking executive action.
The president.
I know, your head's about to explode.
It is.
That's the kind of stuff that Joe Biden got rid of to begin with.
Morons. They don't even tell you that. They won't tell you
that. Plus the fact we've been told time and time again that he can't do that.
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago he said he couldn't do it.
9 to noon on KMED and KCMD. 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Delighted to have you tuned in here this morning. You know, I was talking with Dale Maharaj, and I know that there are some things he's going to say, especially when he gets into guns and climate change. I'm kind of like, all right. Yeah, fine. Yeah, sure. And I used to be able to walk around and not get attacked. Well, you still, for the most part, walk around America and you're not going to get attacked. But I still find the book an interesting read. It's good to, and this is something which is actually not a bad idea, you know, to do from time to time. I don't always want to read books that are just from the right-wing echo chamber. And I think that's something we can all agree with. Not that I was able to take the kernels of truth out of what he was writing about in American Doom Loop and find the good stuff and then just go, yeah, I don't think he's right, but I know he's a leftist guy. He makes no bones about it, but, you know, not always right, not always wrong, too, is the other thing. But on the other hand, he's an old liberal. He's an old line liberal. You know what I'm getting at? There's different. If Dale Maharaj was coming of age right now, he would probably just be, the equivalent of shrieking Trump derangement syndrome, kind of guy. So maybe that's the way you start looking at it when it comes to your books and your consumption, I should say. All right, 770-5633, 770-KMED. We can talk about anything that's on your mind for a few. We'll have a little bit of open phone time a little later this hour and also after Kevin Starrett. We're going to talk to Kevin Starrett about some politics and some good news from the firearms world, which would, of course, make Dale Maharaj's head explode. That's okay. I'm glad he's not there. I'm sure Kevin would have had fun with Dale. All right. Some emails of the day. And they're sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And what's going on there, Crowns While You Wait. They have a wonderful lab in there. You know, it used to be you always had to send your stuff away. You'd have a tooth. They'd take the tooth out and they'd grind your tooth down. And then you'd have to wait, 2-3 weeks sometimes for it to come in. Over at Dr. Nelson, they can get it for you in a half hour, as quick as a half hour. They just put it in there, start working it, boom, fits perfectly, all right? CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com is next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant, okay? And I'm going to give an email of the day here to Todd. Todd from Central Point has a report here. It says, Bill, I attended the Jackson County for All Town Hall at the Jacksonville Library Tuesday night to hear for myself what they were peddling. Todd, you poor bastard. Just kidding, all right? But anyway, the presenter, Laura Baskerville Ahern, a retired environmental lawyer, had a very polished PowerPoint that lasted an hour. I'll call in sometime this week to run down their claims. As I suspected, mostly blue-haired, really angry women. If I had set up a table selling Ruth Bader Ginsburg T-shirts, I would have done very well. Todd, I appreciate you writing, and I'm looking forward to your report. I really am, all right? Let's see, what else do we got going on here this morning? Lorraine writes, hey, Bill, I wanted to thank you so much for your entertaining show. Recently listened to your interview with Christine Goodwin, and was kind of disgusted. I'd never vote for her, just the way she treated you, so disrespectful. I really don't know how you held it together. Noel Robinson was so together. Thank you, Lorraine. This has been a pretty common response, and I don't... That was not my intent. My intent of talking with Christine Goodwin was not to throw Christine under the bus, but it was the 600-pound gorilla that was out there that it was very difficult to get a straight answer to. Now, I don't know what the whole truth of the matter is. I don't know. But I have a feeling that when it comes to the districting thing and whether or not we believe or we don't believe or whatever it is, people are probably already hardened in their silos one way or the other. And maybe at this point we start talking about voting records and various other things. Yeah, it could be. It could be. But yeah, that was that conversation was very, how should I say, that was one of the most challenging interviews I think I've ever done in my 20-something years of talk radio, trying to get a straight answer. Do you live there? Does your husband live there? What does this no vote mean? What is, you know, all that kind of things. What's wrong with voting no? What's always right about reaching across the aisle? There's all sorts of problems, right? But that's just the situation. That's the way it goes. All right. What else do we got going on here? Patrick writes, hey, Bill, conspiracy for Thursday. When we look at Israel's response to the attack by Iran, we have to ask the question, why? I find it curious, suspicious that after all the saber rattling that Israel made after the attack, that they have followed it up by nothing. This response of nothing was after getting a good talking to by Biden, so I'm wondering if he gave the same ultimatum that he gave Ukraine. I'm leaving in 6 hours. If you don't fire the prosecutor by then, you won't get the $1 billion. Only with Israel, it would be, if you retaliate against Iran, you won't get the billions of dollars in military aid. Or, if you retaliate against Iran, we give Iran billions of dollars more. Hey, I hadn't considered that one, Patrick. But Biden has proven over time that this is his MO. Either way, it could put Israel off to responding overtly. All right. Hey, Patrick, appreciate you writing in on that. Let's see. I don't want to read the... here we go. Here we go. Here's something different. I didn't want to read all the ones about Christine Goodwin. My email box filled in about Christine Goodwin. Don't want to make it look like a pig pile. Okay. All right, let me go here to Terry. Terry and Wairika writing, hey, Bill, about Asante. My husband Dick was in Asante during COVID. They were very strict. Masks required to visit, only one visitor allowed per day, and it was obvious they were extremely shorthanded. However, there was one very strange thing. When I went in each day to visit my husband, I had to wear a mask, say who I was when I was visiting, and what room he was in. But not once, and Dick was there for over a week, did they take my temperature. I mentioned this to one of Dick's nurses, and she was shocked, then regained her composure and tried to convince me that they had new protocols almost every day. Terry, appreciate you sharing that story, okay? All right, email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. 729, let me grab a couple of calls here, and then we're going to be talking with a judicial candidate. Now, judicial candidates can go one way or the other. I'm hoping it's not one of those things where they, can't answer questions. But we're going to find out. I met her. She seems to be pretty nice. We'll see. But anyway, let me go to line one. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Crazy.
Crazy Gene on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Take it. Okay, you got to add something to it. All right? Let's hear it.
Well, I'm going to talk about what I talked to you about, the STEM people, S-T-E-M.
Yeah, that's science, technology, right? That kind of thing?
No, it's not quite that.
Oh.
But this one doctor took a guy in for a brain scan, and when he scanned his head, the only thing that was in it was something that looked like a morel mushroom hooked to the end of his spine.
Oh, so he had a really tiny brain, literally a tiny brain, like a dwarf brain almost, right? That kind of thing?
It was very dwarf, yeah, but the guy functioned normally. I mean, he had a family, he had a job.
Really?
He graduated.
Do you know what his IQ was? Did they talk about that at all? Was he smart or dumb or what?
Well, he was normal.
Really?
But it goes to wonder, if everybody had a brain scan, what would they find in there?
Hmm.
And another guy had no brain at all. He just had a sack full of fluid in his head.
Yeah.
And but he was the same way, except he had headaches, and so that's why he went in to see what was going on.
Was this something you heard? You must have heard this on Coast to Coast AM, right?
Yeah, it was on the Art Bell Show.
Yeah, oh yeah, the Art. This sounded like something that Art would have been talking about. Well, you know, when you were talking about the guy that had the really shriveled brain, but yet it was living normally, and I've heard about those kind of stories. It's quite fascinating, but it does get you thinking about how. It's kind of generally believed we're only using maybe, 5 to 10% of our brain capacity. And so that way, if you just have a small brain, you're just having to use a higher capacity of a smaller brain. Maybe that's what was going on. Maybe that's
it. Well, I'm kind of thinking that maybe it's not our brain that we think with. Maybe it's something else that we don't know about.
Ah, the whole, that pesky soul thing. Gotcha. All right, crazy. See, Gene, you're not so crazy at all, okay?
Well, I'm trying to be. Don't put me down here, Bill.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. This is Bill.
This is Minor Dave.
Yeah, Dave, what's up?
I wanted to say this. My neighbor's got an 11-year-old boy. He's a single father,
mm-hmm.
and he homeschools his kid. And it's sometimes hard for him because he can't afford all the materials. One of the things the kid's interested in is chemistry. And he's a really smart kid. I'm just trying to figure out how we could get him a chemistry set. The kid's half. His mother was from Kenya, and so he's half black, half white.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he's raised by a white father, so he's considered white.
Yeah, of course. So he's part of the problem, I'm sure. So you want to do? So you? It's a neighbor of yours, then?
I was just trying to figure out if somebody could help me figure out how to get a chemistry set for this 11-year-old.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to make a note on this. Okay, and I'm going to see if we can find a way, because you can't solve everybody's problems. But if we have a homeschooler and the kid's really interested in chemistry and seems to be pretty good, as long as we give him a chemistry set. If we can find a way to get him a chemistry set and he doesn't become a meth manufacturer or fentanyl production.
No, he doesn't want to do that.
Good.
He wants to learn how to be a geologist.
All right. Well, see, that's good. These are, you understand, right? I'd like to have a chemistry set. What for? Well, you know, we are in Siskiyou County and there's a lot of drug dealing going on. I'd just like to make a few extra bucks. Yeah, we don't want to go there, okay?
We're not going there.
All right. Thanks, Miter Dave. I'll see what we can do. It's 7:33 at KMED, KCMD. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish. Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit firstresponseirs.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Veal with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Governor Gina Kotek will not veto important line item funding projects for Shady Cove, Gold Hill, and Butte Falls. Last week, NBC5 News reported the governor was considering several line item vetoes for budget allocations from the legislative session. These included various water treatment and sewer infrastructure upgrades for the three cities. The governor wanted to know how the projects support housing growth. The governor announced her decision against the vetoes on Wednesday. An investigation is underway after skeletal remains were recently found. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office says the remains were found Sunday outside Jacksonville in the Applegate area. Investigators are working to identify the remains as well as the cause of death. Detectives are currently investigating the matter as a suspicious death. JCSO says this is an ongoing investigation and no other information is available at this time. The city of Grants Pass is once again talking public safety funding. Grants Pass is hosting a roundtable discussion at 1:30 this afternoon in the city council chambers. Staff will present an overview of public safety services and the funding options to close their budget gap. The city says there will not be an opportunity for public comment. That's a look at your morning headlines. For MC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on general tires for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nygaard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks91. That's BRUX91.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
Hi, I'm Randall from Advanced Air, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
737, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you're looking at a wonderful person next to me, Christine Herbert, who has agreed to come in and talk about her judicial experience because she's going for judge. She wants to be judge of Jackson County Circuit Court. This is position five, right, Christine?
Correct. Seat five.
Okay, seat five. And Circuit Court is, define first off what Circuit Court is for those that don't know. And I served as a juror about a little over a year ago on that. It was quite the experience there. But what does the Circuit Court do?
So our Circuit Court is the big court on Oakdale that hears family law cases, criminal cases, civil cases. So this is where folks would go to resolve issues, file matters. Mm-hmm. So it's distinguished from the municipal court, which is basically lower crimes, misdemeanors, and then traffic.
And so this is the one that I served in as a juror on a medical malpractice case a little over a year ago. It was Tim Gerking who was the judge at that point. And oddly enough, this is the seat he retired then?
That's correct. He retired, and this has been vacant since his retirement. So whichever candidate wins by 51% in May will occupy the seat in January.
This is interesting because we haven't heard much about that. This is one of these races that it's nonpartisan. And so I don't think it gets the same kind of attention as if you're running for state rep or
correct,
you're running for county commission, right? You know,
right,
you know, those kind of things. A little bit about yourself. What, 25, 35 years overall of just kind of give us your your pitch here so far, and then we'll kind of move on.
Okay. So I've been a lawyer here in Jackson County for 24 years, moved up from San Diego where I did my legal training, was down there from 1982 to 1998 when I moved up here.
Okay.
I also lived up in Portland, went to high school in Milwaukee, graduated in 1978. The split in locations was due to family breakup in San Diego, moved up to Portland to live with relative foster care, and then finished high school, went back to San Diego to kind of find my family again, did all my college, got married, had a child, got divorced, and then moved here to Southern Oregon.
Yeah, what attracted you to coming here? I'm curious.
Well, my existing husband is from here, so...
Well, that's a good reason.
We got back together. We knew each other as teenagers, working for the Forest Service up in the Portland area, and had that little summer romance, broke up, kind of went our different ways, but kind of didn't get him out of my head. So ultimately, we got back together 20 years later, and somebody had to move. So... I moved.
And so you're here.
Yes.
And of course, the one thing about legal training is that it's pretty portable, like being a nurse, too, for that matter. You know, that kind of thing, right? As long as you have the license, I suppose. Yeah, by the way, I'm just kind of curious. This is something on the side, just on the side. And then I want to talk more about your race here. The what is your thought just as an attorney with this these rules that are coming in that are making it that you don't necessarily have to pass the bar exam now if you're going to be a new attorney? Is that anything that gets talked about much in the legal world?
Yes, the lawyers talk about it a lot because, honestly, I mean, the bar exam is just very, very difficult. And you could be the smartest person in the world and have difficulty with the bar exam.
Really?
So for those students that don't have to take the bar, you know, those of us that have go, wait.
Well, yeah, it kind of looked like, all right, that we know that it's a hard thing and that if you don't take it, well, see, I was kind of wondering if this is going to end up being what happens if someone goes and wants to talk to an attorney. Now, you've been a trial attorney for, you know, many, many years now, but you know, did you take the bar? No, I ended up serving, you know, public community service and I ended up getting my, you know, my law license that way. Isn't that going to be looked at as kind of like almost like a second-tier attorney? I can't help but wonder if that would be the result of this.
Well, not too many people ask you that question.
Well, they might start. They might start,
that's
right?
True. But, you know, the other thing is there's a lack of lawyers now. So I suspect that the reason that they're getting lighter on students and not having to take the bar is because – we desperately need more lawyers.
Yeah, but on the other hand, isn't it a little concerning? It's like you'd hate to hear, well, I would like to take, we're a little short on brain surgeons, so we're going to relax the standards on that. I hope you won't mind when you're going under at Asante or Prov, right? You know, that kind of
exactly,
thing, Christine?
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. But anyway, Christine Herbert is running for Circuit Court Judge. This is seat 5. Why do you want to do this, first off? You've been a trial attorney for many, many years, and what would make you want to maybe go to that other side of the chair?
Well, I've been an advocate for a very long time, and I've been encouraged by judges and others that I should be on the bench. I thought about it for a long time. There was maybe 10 years ago I considered it, and I just wasn't done being an advocate. I really love trial work, but now I'm ready. I'm ready.
Is there anything about the judicial system at this point that maybe has even frustrated you as a trial lawyer that maybe you think you could bring something to bear as a judge or
sure.
not?
Sure. So I had been advocating for a veterans court for quite some time. That hasn't happened yet. I went to Klamath Falls to observe the one that they have there, which is working fabulous. What I would like to see and what I would try to push for if I'm on the bench, is more access to justice. So what I mean is there are folks that can't make it to court for transportation issues or they're disabled, but specifically the vets, too, that are out in White City. Sometimes it's hard for them to get to court. I'd like to see something easier where You can get online, ask questions to a clerk, or even have just a mini remote court session to accommodate these folks.
So,
that's what I'd like
so
to see.
More of a kind of like Zoom meeting court of sorts.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably a little more complex than Zoom, but still, I get that. I'm kind of wondering why we haven't done that up to this point, because is it all that expensive to do this, or are there other rules and regulations and perhaps even just the judicial culture that has been resistant? What do you think?
Well, I think since COVID, the court can easily do that. Mm-hmm. The issue may be staff, because if you hold court, you have to have your clerk, you have to have it recorded, mm-hmm. you have to have a judge available. I know that there's a judge available, so it's just a matter of the court getting adequate staff to accommodate this. And then on the receiving end, you know, you have to have that set up, for example, at the VA, mm-hmm. something like, well, we call it WebEx, which is like Zoom.
Yeah. Do they have to have a recorder there or only a recorder on one side?
They have to have it on both sides.
Both sides?
Oh, no. The court reporter only on one side.
On one side.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's something you think that you might be able to... do this, because from what I understand, we just have a huge backlog of cases, don't we in Jackson County?
Right, yes.
What's been driving that, do you think?
Well, COVID drove it first. All of the misdemeanor cases and even some of the civil cases were just put on the backlog because they couldn't accommodate everybody in the courthouse because of COVID. And now the court's trying to catch up with that, but then there's this other issue of the public defense crisis that has come into play, too.
What drove that? As an attorney, I think you would have a unique ability to speak to that. What happened?
Sure. A lot of the senior lawyers have retired or left.
Oh, is this the kind of story we're hearing about the boomers and the older ones retiring, just taking off? We're done.
Yeah, they're done. And bringing in new lawyers is difficult. I run the Rogue Valley Defenders. It's a defense consortium group. And it's very hard to find lawyers that'll move here and work here.
What could be done about that besides lowering the standards, which I'm concerned that that's what the state of Oregon is trying to do? Is it a pay issue where being a public defender is just, you know, sucks as far as trying to make a living, and you know you're having to spend a few $100,000 to become an attorney? You know,
right.
To not be able to make it back, it could push you into corporate work instead.
Well, Bill, I think that's part of it. Also, attorneys that pass the bar, or some that don't have to pass the bar,
right,
want to go into the corporate world where they can make a lot more. Yeah, public defense work isn't...
glamorous?
Well, right. There's that. And it's hard work. You are in court every day. You're dealing with very difficult people often. And some folks just don't have that temperament and bandwidth to do it.
And I know that there are sometimes me as a guy from the right or a conservative type, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, in a way, though, a public defender is kind of doing God's work in some ways, because it's kind of like your last hope for some of these people, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
What can you do as a judge, if you were elected as judge, to help that? Is there anything that the judge can do to help facilitate this crisis, ending this crisis?
No, a judge really can't do anything about that.
Okay.
Attorneys that work in the field that are interested in bringing in new lawyers can go to law schools, talk about the work, see if you can solicit students to be interested in this kind of work. Mm-hmm. But as a judge, you can't really advocate for anything in the system.
Let me ask you, Christine, has the so-called woke phenomenon, which has come into so many institutions, does that possibly affect the ability of getting more attorneys and being able to attract attorneys when there are many people that seem to go through life thinking that prosecuting a crime is indicative of racism or some other kind of problem? I'm just wondering what kind of role that may have played, if at all.
I don't know that that plays a role.
Okay, that's good. You know, I just wonder, because you hear about it at just about every culture and every aspect of the institutional life. All right. So you, instead of being a trial lawyer, you want to be the judge here. And what is it about you that makes you particularly suited for this position?
Well, I've worked with all kinds of people. I come from an area of diversity. So I believe...
Define diversity.
Well, people of all color, races, belief systems. And you have to be comfortable with all people in order to preside on the bench. You can't be offended. You can't be uncomfortable. You have to be able to give everybody a voice. You have to be compassionate and have a good temperament. And that's me.
Do you have a good poker face?
No.
The reason I asked... I had to ask. And the reason I asked you that, Christy, by the way, I'm speaking with Christine Herbert. She's running for circuit court judge in Jackson County. But there are times that even when I was in the trial on the jury, that you would hear either side of the argument that would just kind of bring up some whopper of an idea, right? It's just like, you're really going there, you know, right. And I would think that, and I would even look at some of my fellow jurors and, you know, and the judge is up there kind of looking stone-faced, right? I'm just wondering, that's something you have to practice almost.
It is something you have to practice, and I've had to practice that very same thing as a trial lawyer because I, you know, get passionate about what I do, but I'll hold my hand up so the jury can't really see when I know something's going to...
So they can't see you going, oh my gosh, what is this other guy doing?
What is he saying?
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right, that's good. Is there hope for the law and the jury system? Because I know there have been some people that have been claiming that you can pretty much buy the jury that you want these days. I even think about, I know this is kind of a philosophical thing. You look at what's going on in New York with the former president and various other things. What are your thoughts about this? Because you would be working with jurors a lot as a judge.
Well, having been and am a trial lawyer for so long, I am a firm believer in the jury system. I believe people that go in there just want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always believe that. So folks in Jackson County, when they come in to serve, I believe their heart's in the right place. And you know when it isn't, because they'll tell you in voir dire or jury selection.
What are your thoughts on jury nullification? In other words, the concept which has been talked about for a while, that the jury... many instances has a duty not just to judge guilt or innocence, but also the properness of the law, almost like the final bulwark against bad law. What do you think?
Sure. Well, jury nullification, I tried that one time.
You did?
In a case, yeah.
You did?
Where I just didn't feel like the jury should follow the law in that particular case.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long, long time ago, so...
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the case. I'm just curious.
But it's more of an ask to the jury. Look, this isn't right for this reason, and you folks, you jurors can make this determination. So in a sense, I mean, I'm an officer of the court. I have to follow the law.
You have to follow the law.
But at the other side, I want to make sure that something right occurs from this trial.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the vote of a juror that you so believe in, it is their vote, one way or the other.
That's right.
Right? Because I've heard situations in where judges have said, if this happened, then you must...
follow the law.
You must do this. And yet, if that's the case, then we really wouldn't need jurors or judges. We could just enter the information into a computer and have Alexa
or Chat GPT
decide. You know what I'm getting at?
Right. I do know what you're getting at.
Going to look at it that way. By the way, we're not going there, are we?
I hope not.
Okay, good. I really do like the idea of having humans in charge of...
So do I.
...deciding our fate. Okay. All right. Would you say that most of your work has been done... if it was in circuit court, you're a trial lawyer, was it criminal or otherwise? Tell me a bit about your practice.
Well, lots of other stuff, too. So I primarily do criminal defense.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in juvenile dependency court. That's where child welfare is involved. And
CASAs,
exactly.
All those kind of people.
I did that up until, for more than 20 years. And then there's family law. I've done a lot of that, not divorces, but custody modifications. That's primarily what I do.
Is the system getting more even-handed in family law? Because I'll tell you my experience in a divorce. I know you went through a divorce here. In my situation, I don't want to talk about me, but I just know what happened to me, that kind of thing. There was a decided pro-mother, anti-father bias, but this is going back about 20, 30 years. Has any of that changed at all, or is it still pretty much fait accompli most of the time?
When I first moved up here, I noticed it a little bit. Kind of bias in favor of moms in particular.
Very much.
Now we have a whole set of different people on the bench.
Oh.
And I think with that comes more wisdom and being able to accept looking at the law, looking at the facts, making a decision and not thinking about gender. Sometimes we come across what I would call a little bit of gender bias in favor of moms when we're talking about little kids and custody
and I get
with little
that.
Kids.
I get that.
I fight against that often. Like if I have a dad I represent and he wants to have as much custody and time with his child that might be an infant, it is a battle to get that.
All right. So just to in closing here, because I'm just out of time, I could probably talk law and various other things. But I also know there are certain things. I was telling people I wasn't sure if I was going to be frustrated talking with you or not, because you can't talk about cases because there's judicial ethics. There's all sorts of things you can't talk about. So I'm trying to talk about the things we can't talk about. So lots of experience then, and you don't have a poker face, but you do.
I'm working on it.
Okay, all right. So, in other words, when you become judge, you'll just have to hold up a screen every now and then. I'm just kidding. But,
well, I'll just put that big monitor in front of my face.
Okay.
And they can't see me.
That's true. But in all seriousness, though, this is a serious position. A lot of people end up – this is important. This is an important position, and it doesn't get talked about nearly enough. I also think that we haven't been talking nearly enough about the district attorney's race, but I think we're going to have to be doing more of that because these are very big things. Where can people find out more about you, your endorsements, your candidacy? And
sure.
Such?
They can get on my website. I have my own office website, which is Christine Herbert, Attorney Medford. They can get on my campaign website, which is CKH4, that's F-O-R, J-C-J.
Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
I know.
But what
thanks,
I will
husband,
do is,
for that.
But. Okay. I'll post it, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I'll post it for that, okay? I'll post it on KMED.com. Christine, I appreciate you coming in, being a good sport about it, and sorry messing with you a little bit.
That's fine. Thank you so much for having me.
And by the way, final question. Do you have good lawyer jokes when you're an attorney? Do you hear the good ones, or are they going away now? Nothing's funny now in some ways.
Yeah. Every once in a while I hear a good lawyer joke, but I never remember them, so don't ask me any.
Well, send me a couple, okay?
Send
me a couple when you hear them, all right? Christine Herbert, once again, running for a Jackson County Circuit Judge, Seat 5. It is 7:57 on KMED.
Is the homemade potato salad as good as Mom's? Maybe. Bring Mom for a trial sample to Diner 62.
Before you know it, it will be summertime in Southern Oregon. Ensure that you have a good supply of water before the rush hits. Plowser Drilling is booking for the peak summer season. If you need a water well, you need the experienced and professional team from Plowser Drilling. They will perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Don't take a risk on your well contractor. Contact Plowser Drilling now to get in front of the line. Visit PlowserDrilling.com.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
One of each, Forte VIN 770-783, MSRP 21645, 3500 due, Sol VIN 235213, MSRP 22210, 3500 due, 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 4/30/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice, just $149 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
Donald Trump is running for president. He's going to win in November. And the Democrats can't stand that idea. So they had to come up with some way to try to stop him. The more they attack him, the more popular he becomes with a majority of Americans. So now he's facing the first criminal trial that any American president or former president has ever faced.
Lars, weekdays noon to 3 on KMED.
8 o'clock, KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, 106.3 FM. Okay. Also, KCMD Grants Pass, 99.3 FM. Translator K294AS Ashland. Brian Weldon, Josephine County. Got a problem with the homeless, eh? What do you say, Brian? Good morning.
Hi, Bill. This is getting serious. Very, very serious.
In what way?
I've been a member of Park Watch for quite a while now, and we have been watching over our five city parks, trying to deal with the homeless, picking up needles and trash and dealing with all of that in the gazebo areas. We found out a few weeks ago that Little League was starting at Morrison Park. It's a baseball park for children, and we wanted to help out the team and the coaches clean up before every game. Mm-hmm. Last Saturday, we had a huge pile of bicycles and trash and needles. We found needles in the women's bathroom and razor blades, and getting all this together so they can have their first Little League baseball game. And they were very appreciative that all the parents were there helping, watching us clean up and everything. And here, so their next game was yesterday. And I heard, oh man, this is terrible. They, a woman, last night at 6 o'clock, they were all at the baseball game. And here there's tents 10 feet away from the bleachers all around the baseball field. Why? I have no idea, but.
Has anyone been hurt by the needles yet that we're aware of getting stuck?
All right. Well, let me finish here. It gets pretty bad. The mayor's been telling us for a year now there's nothing we can do because of the Supreme Court deal and all of that. Nothing we can do. So last night at 6 o'clock, the coaches right before the couple of the other games right before 6 o'clock started, they moved a homeless man out of the area where their bathrooms and things are. He said he was walking really weird and stumbling and falling down. He climbed in his green tent right 10 feet away from the bleachers. And then a little while later, some other homeless people, some drug addicts, went in there in his tent, and they came out screaming and yelling. They called the ambulance. They called the fire department, the police, and this man's dead inside the tent.
Whoa.
And then they had to call a coroner, and the parents were so upset that all their children are watching this. So they made a group of parents blocking the tent from the kids being able to see all this. This is just a few feet away from their baseball field. And the coroner had to take the dead body out of the tent, load it up, and take it away. And now all these parents, they posted this on our page last night. This is one of the mothers that sat there and watched this all, and I'm not going to mention her name, but I'm going to read what she wrote on our Facebook page. This is for my Grants Pass community. Tonight, my kids had a baseball game at Morrison Park. where they had to witness a body being put into a body bag. This person was living in a tent literally feet away from the fields our kids are playing on. This person has sadly lost his life to an overdose. And it's gotten so bad that we have to keep our kids close. I don't even let my kids play on the playground. Every time we have a game or a practice, we have to always go early just to make sure that the place is cleaned up and there's no needles laying around on the lawn for our children to get harmed. The reason I'm posting this here is because I'm hoping we can work together and make a difference in this area. Our children should not have to have experienced it like we did tonight. We want our kids to be able to live in a life of a kid. This is very traumatizing to our children, and I refuse to have this be a normal thing. Something has to change now. That's your story.
You know, Brian, here's the challenge I think we find ourselves in here. I'm not defending Mayor Bristol, but Mayor Bristol may be technically correct when she talks about little you can do unless you have the low barrier shelter. And I know we probably don't want to hear this. Remember how there was a case filed against the city of Medford the other week, and not the other week, but actually a few months ago. And it ended up being dismissed because the judges ended up saying, in essence, that, well, you know, Medford has enough housing and they're taking care of enough of this that there's no need for us to go forward with this. And apparently, and unfortunately, I would dare say, our communities are being held hostage that either you build the low barrier shelters at great taxpayer expense or else this is what you get. In other words, it's either build it for the bums or your kids get it. I think that's essentially where we find ourselves. Am I incorrect about that? I don't know. I'm just trying to.
Well,
I'm not
no,
an attorney.
You can't make them go there. That's why the gospel mission is 60% empty.
Because they don't. Because the gospel rescue mission has rules, and it's
right.
Good. And it's good that they have rules, but it's like the courts are saying you have to have a place with no rules so that you can have people. Well, if they're going to die, they end up dying in the shelter instead of dying, you know, in the park,
yes.
I guess. Maybe that's better.
Well, I think the community is going to really wake up after last night, and we're going to just make these people go live in one of the other parks that are away from children playing these sports.
And maybe that's the way it has to be done. Maybe you just say, okay, we have a place, but it's only here, and we really mean it, only here. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you for sharing it. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for all involved. Brian, thank you very much. It's 7 minutes after 8. I said it's 7 minutes after 8. Where's my button working? There it is.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Senate Minority Leader McConnell is dismayed by the Democrats' dismissal of two articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas without a trial. To quote McConnell, it's not a proud day in the history of the Senate. Back to court today for former President Trump. Jury selection in his New York criminal trial is resuming. Mr. Trump says the trial amounts to a political witch hunt that's designed to keep him off the campaign trail. President Biden voicing strong support for House Speaker Mike Johnson's plan for weekend votes on several foreign aid bills, including a bill providing more money for Ukraine and another aid for Israel. Some of Johnson's fellow Republicans oppose the aid bills, even threatening to remove Johnson from the speakership. And there's been no Israeli response yet to last week's Iranian missile and drone attacks. On Wall Street, the Dow up 83. More details, srnnews.com.
We have some real issues here in Southern Oregon, and when it comes to the state senator to represent us, there is only one clear choice, Christine Goodwin. Christine is a strong, vibrant, get-her-done conservative who won't leave Southern Oregon behind against those far-left Portland politicians. Matter of fact, as representative, she has the number one conservative voting record of all time by nationally recognized CPAC in the legislature among senators, representatives, and congressmen serving over 2 years. Christine helped recriminalize hard drugs, strengthen laws for our police, and even worked to help Texas in trying to close the southern border.
Hey, Republicans, make sure you vote Christine Goodwin for state senate in the primary. She's a winner, and let's back a winner. This former high school teacher, small business owner, commissioner, and school board chair knows how to get it done on all levels. Sending her to Salem to battle those urban politicians is the best thing we can do. Vote Christine Goodwin for state senate. Paid for by Goodwin for Oregon, PAC ID 21708.
KMED and KCMB Morning Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. Another cold start this morning, but this afternoon, plenty of sunshine and even warmer than yesterday. Nearing 76, we'll dip to 43 tonight, so not as cold. 80 on Friday, and then we'll be a little bit breezy with a high of 73 Saturday.
10 minutes after 8, one of my longest-term sponsors is Jay Austin. Jay Austin in Grants Pass at 6th and G by appointment. You call 482-3715 and 1632 Ashland Street, the big retail location in Ashland. And I think that's open at 9 or 10 o'clock this morning. But great people. They have never closed, never been shut down, will never permit themselves to be dominated that way and believe a lie. But be that as it may, you're looking at your dollar and you're looking at the value of dollars and the dollar index, and you're thinking, you know, trust in central banks is kind of low. This is why we're seeing the price of gold and silver soaring. Silver seems to be taking, the big jump upward over the last few days. We're at like $2,840 an ounce right now. And gold still in that $2,400 range within a buck or two, like $2,382 right now. A lot of this is about, concerns about war, concerns about stress, concerns about not being able to get control of the budget. And I don't think there's anybody that really thinks that the Fed and the federal government really have much control of anything right now, right? And so what does that say for long term? Good idea to have some physical gold and silver in your possession. Don't fall for the siren song. You know, Jay Austin is one of these people. They say they're not a big fan of the gold-backed IRAs in which you put it in an IRA. Nothing wrong if you want to do something like that. But the problem is that it's subject to control and seizure just like anything else that has been done in the past that the feds could get their grubs on. So just in case, talk to your financial advisor and then get some physical gold and silver that you control from Jay Austin. And if you're looking at these prices and you'd like to sell and free up some cash, hey, they'll do it. Buy, sell, honest brokers, good people. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. Ashland and Grants Pass. JayAustinBrokers.com, FortuneReserve.com. Stop in there, and if you want to make an appointment, they'll lock the door behind you and keep it nice and safe. 482-3715.
This hour of the Bill Maher Show is brought...